What's up, guys?
Yes.
Welcome back to another episode of the NRL Hunter podcast. I am here with my buddy, Mr. Marshall Sipp of Preferred Barrel Blanks. Marshall, how are you, sir?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm super stoked to have you on. This is kind of a special podcast because Marshall and I are getting ready to go on a hunt in just a couple of weeks here. So we wanted to talk to each other and kind of do this podcast and kind of let you guys know what our mindsets are on this trip. But before I do that, Marshall, you want to tell the listeners a little bit about you if they haven't met you already?
Yeah, sure. So again, my name is Marshall Sipp, and I run Match Grade Machine and Preferred Barrel Blanks out of Southern Utah. I've lived in Southern Utah my entire life. Kind of had the ranch farm life growing up, both sides of the family. Got to get in a lot of trouble with my little brother. Build forks and drive tractors, build jumps, wreck shit.
Oh yeah.
A lot of hunting and shooting, trapping. So
Nice.
that
Come on.
discipline never really stopped.
Oh, you're a trapper?
It used to be. We used to trap a lot of raccoons and stuff. I mean, it was back in the day, not anymore.
Okay. I didn't know that about you. That's pretty cool. It's a little fun fact.
That was my first kill I ever got was I trapped a raccoon in a live trap. My grandpa used to just put pecans in the shell, like in a cat food dish in the back of a live trap.
Right.
And I think I was 7. And I was looking at just why would I want to go have pecans if I was a raccoon? They're all over the ground already. So I went in the house and I got some fun size Snickers and I put them in the trap. Changed the bait a little bit and just went home that night. And by 7:15 the next morning, my grandpa called my mom and was like, "You better bring your boy down here. He's got something to take care of." And he gave me the old 22 and made me take care of it myself since I trapped it.
That
And
must have been quite the experience.
I will never forget that. Yeah.
7 years old, you trap a coon with the Snickers bar,
Yep.
and then grandpa makes you finish what you started.
Yep. I had to take care of it, shoot it, get out of the trap, clean the trap, take it to the dumpster, everything. Yep.
So, were you trapping coons for the fur? Because I remember, back in the day, fur trade used to be pretty, coons, coyotes, there used to be a pretty big fur trade. It's kind of gone now, but were you trapping for that or for food or just to get rid of pests?
Just pest control. It
Pest
was
control.
we had no respect for those animals. We didn't want the fur around. I mean, and Southern Utah is pretty rural. It's
Right.
not like a small town. So it wasn't, we were like surrounded by houses and stuff even then, which it's grown a lot more now. But yeah, it was pure pest control, just trying to wipe them out, get into the
Gotcha.
chickens, get into the cats' food, everything.
Right.
So
They could be pretty damn destructive.
yeah. Yep.
Okay. So would you consider that your first hunt then? Because you're trapping varmint, or was that just a experience?
No, definitely kind of clicked on something in my head for sure.
Okay.
That's yeah. But it was like, wow, this is like to think smarter than them or to think like them and to put the trap. I've also moved the trap somewhere else where I saw one earlier that day. So just kind of putting those pieces together was really fascinating to me, for sure.
So you like that mental challenge of kind of trying to read the animal and understand its habits.
Yep. And, going forward a lot of years, we had a different farm in Cedar City. And between the woodchucks on the mountain or the deer, we got a lot of deer tags for mitigation.
Okay.
We would just shoot deer like they were like a video game.
Oh,
And the DNR would come get them and process them with whatever they did. But we had so much crop loss from the deer. Like when we were growing corn,
right.
the antlers get so wide, they'd knock down two rows of corn every time they walk anywhere.
Yeah.
So they just let us almost have free season on those guys. So
a lot of people that don't live in those areas aren't going to necessarily understand that. But when a deer is in your crop, I mean, it could do tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage in a very short amount of time, right?
Yeah, we threatened to sue for $200,000.
$200,000?
That's when they really started saying, hey, you guys just take care of them. Because we just asked them to take care of them because we weren't poaching them. We weren't doing anything, but we kept running them over in the swather. So we'd have to shovel that out of the windrows. And it's just nasty. Because, I mean, you have two or three fawns, two doe, and you just take them all out because they wouldn't get up when you're cutting hay.
That's
the whole,
crazy.
You know, it's, so we're already killing them unintentionally. Plus, we're losing crop. And they're only there because of our crop. They're not there because this is their habitat. They've migrated in and they just kind of turn into like stray cats. You know, they just hang around the fields.
Yeah, no, I've heard many stories of how deer can be detrimental to different types of crops, you know, corn, hay, beans, so on and so forth. But I think there's a lot of people out there that don't realize just how much damage they can do. And if you're talking about, you know, several tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, I mean, that could put a family in financial jeopardy pretty damn quick.
Yeah, we owned or leased at one point, I think it was 2,800 acres up there. So you can imagine the animals.
Yeah. So you've had quite a bit of hunting experience and pest removal experience.
Yeah, it kind of turned with that situation, especially that wasn't necessarily hunting per se. It was more killing. But in the name of science, I tested a lot of different projectiles. I've tested a lot of different calibers and I've seen firsthand what really puts something down and versus what's advertised.
Right.
I've done, you know, from the varmints and pests, I've probably tried every subsonic combination you can and all the way up to the spectrum of just 4,000 feet a second. It's just kind of what's really a killing combination. And it's been really fun. That's been my favorite part. It's not the killing. It's just watching, okay, that really works. Or this is supposed to work. Let's go see what it does. And you plug a doe at 35 feet and the bullet doesn't expand. You're like, well, that was a $3 shot. This is a subsonic blackout and it did not work as advertised. And I shot it four times before it fell over.
Right.
So it's knowing that. And trying to really learn what's actually ethical has been also awesome.
It seems like I'm getting the feeling that you like the science behind the hunting.
Yeah, for sure. Cartridge selection, just really figuring out what your projectile is capable of doing, what you're killing, what's appropriate. It's just trying to make it not necessarily like more fair, but just why take out the big 338 Lapua? If you were just talking about what kills, why wouldn't you just only have a 338 Lapua? Why do you talk about anything else? Right? So then it turns into an equation and you really just have to narrow down these options to what you want. So
it's interesting to talk to somebody with that perspective. Obviously when you're hunting, there's huge debates about what calibers are ethical and, you know, what you should be using for what size game and so on and so forth. And everybody has a slightly different idea, but I don't know that I've really talked to anybody who's gone out there and really, as far as a firsthand experience, studied it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Obviously I don't have like a graph. I can't show you data on paper, but I've seen a lot of combinations. And the 224 Valkyrie, when it came out, I competed with that a little bit.
Okay.
And that thing with the 60 grain varmint bullet, at 150 yards, I put down the biggest deer I've ever killed. And I think it walked 35, 40 feet.
Nice.
Just those types of things that you would never think. But they go in there and they just knock them dead.
See, so it's, I mean, I guess if we wanted to talk about the ballistics and the effect that it has on animals at certain distances and different size animals, I mean, that's going to be a whole, that could be 10 different podcasts, right? Because there's so many different variables that can take place. But I think it's definitely interesting that you have that knowledge, and maybe when we're at the campfire, I'll pick your brain some more on it. Because I think all of that's interesting, and it's cool because so Marshall and I and Seth Howard and my nephew Jacob, we're getting ready to go on a Idaho buck deer hunt and a elk bull elk hunt at the end of October, beginning of November. We're going to be out there for however many days it takes for us to get this done, and we were talking
So
about
excited.
it. I'm sorry.
So excited.
Yeah, I'm so stoked right now. When we're talking about taking, different size game or taking different types of game all in one trip, I was talking with Marshall and we were talking about what calibers and so on and so forth. And ultimately, I said I wanted to shoot a 7 PRC because I'd never shot that. I'm not so familiar with that round before. I never hunted with that round before, but I heard lots of great things. What did you think of, or what do you think of that caliber? Because you've had more experience with that caliber than I have.
Yeah, I think the 7 mil is a great line. I mean, the last deer I killed on an actual tag hunt that I had a draw for was with a 7 based off a 375 Ruger. So, like, that line is the marriage of energy at distance and kind of lower recoil. It's not the lowest recoil, you're kind of crossing that line into a little bit of kick, but it just turns into, like, what's your max effective range? And
Right.
before we even talked about the 7 PRC, you're like, I think I would be comfortable at the 600 to 800 yard range. It depends on the conditions. If we have really good conditions, I could maybe go to 800 yards, which is a long shot
It is.
for really any gun. But more, you'd be more comfortable with the 600 yard shot. And I'm like, all right, with my experience and especially shooting the Hunter series, the 7 PRC can easily do that. And I think we're going to go with a 20-inch barrel. Let's keep it short. We'll run a can on it. We'll sacrifice a little bit of velocity. And I think it's going to be a killing combo.
Okay, so quick legal disclaimer. Marshall just said we're going to be running a can on this rifle. Yes, it is Marshall's can that he owns. I do not own a suppressor in California.
Oh, sorry.
It's good, but people are going to be like, "How'd you get a suppressor, bro?" I'm like, "No, I don't own a suppressor. It's Marshall's suppressor."
It's about who you know.
Right? And I mean, just a quick side note. I am a huge advocate for hunting suppressed. If you have the option to shoot suppressed or unsuppressed in almost any situation, personally, I believe you should always shoot suppressed. It's a lot more comfortable. So thank you very much, Marshall, for letting me borrow your suppressor for the hunt in Idaho.
Yeah, actually, it's brand new. I got it from JK Armament.
Oh,
I
no
mean,
kidding.
as yeah, they were displaying them at Seth's match up in Idaho.
Right, yeah.
And we were right next to him. And we brought a 7 PRC. And it was like, I have other cans. I won't say what they are, but it was different. It was better.
Interesting. I've
And the
never
other thing
shot
I
one of
like
their
about that,
cans.
yeah, it's also modular. So the baffles are removable.
Right.
So
I've
you can.
seen them, but I've never shot my suppressor because obviously I'm in California. My suppressor knowledge and experience is somewhat limited, but yes, I've seen them.
Yeah, so that's gonna be awesome.
Oh,
And
yeah.
that's really where we kind of came up with this rifle in general was one, I think you gave me 104 days to build you a rifle
Something like that.
and to, yeah, and to get ready for this hunt. That's when I got invited. And so the inspiration to get you this, what I would build myself for 7 PRC, I also really wanted to take care of and put sponsors for the Hunter series on this build.
Yes.
And I didn't include everyone. I couldn't. There's only so many choices, but
Right.
also lead times were part of the equation, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I had all of the parts on the shelf for this gun, aside from your barrel. I custom made your barrel, but the chassis, trigger, you sent me the scope. It was quick and easy. But yeah, you're finally gonna get yourself a HNT 26.
Dude, I'm so stoked. I'm like, so Marshall, throughout this build process, he'd been sending me pictures and he'd been sending me a little bit of details here and there. And then I finally got it to my FFL out here in California. You do a 10-day dross, whatever. I got it out of dross. We call it California jail. And this rifle is freaking gorgeous. I mean, there's a lot of good looking rifles out there, but I'm really excited to shoot this rifle. It's super light. I think with everything on it, I mean, it's under 10 pounds. Do you remember the exact weight of it, Marshall?
8 pounds, 11 ounces.
8 pounds, 11 ounces with the optic, no bipod, but with the optic.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, this thing is super sexy. So I can't wait to get it out there and get some video and some photos of it and to shoot it, man. Hopefully we'll be able to put a couple of notches in the, you know, into it this week or in the coming weeks when we go on the hunt.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So this is awesome. And then a big shout out to Hornady. We called them up and I was able to order some ammo from them for some of that 7PRC because it's really hard to find on the shelves, especially out here in California. So huge thank you to them. And then not only did Marshall put together this rifle, not only did he do a custom barrel, he do the whole nine yards, he went out and shot it and trued it and collect data on it so that we have almost everything we need to get out there and start going right away. So that's freaking badass.
Yeah, I've confirmed it to your max distance with the data, with the ammo, and got all the data. And I think I went 3 or 4 times and played in the wind a little bit to see how it would be. And I'm excited, confident.
I'm super excited as well. And it's like, I can't believe it's October already because that means we only have like 15 days left. So I'm kind of dating this podcast because I'm not sure when it'll come out, but we're 16 days away from when we leave for the
Yeah.
hunt.
It
Are you
came
ready?
quick. Yeah, tonight my family's going up to the mountain, and I'm gonna lay out all my gear, all the food, and I'm gonna just make sure I have everything one last time before it's too late.
There you go. Yeah, we're running out of time to order stuff. I mean, unless it's on Amazon, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
So,
we got a new store in town, which is pretty good. It's been really handy.
nice. So, new outdoor store.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So, a rundown of how we anticipate this hunt. So, Marshall's actually coming to California a couple of days early to do a family getaway. I'm going to pick him up in Southern California in San Diego. My nephew's going to meet at my house, and then we're leaving my house on a Friday night. We're going to drive straight through to Seth's house in Idaho, meet up with him, rearrange some things, gather some things, whatever we need to do. And he's going to give us a spot up in, I believe it's Unit 32 that we're hunting. And we're going to be up there
Okay.
hunting for a couple of days. And then Seth is going to come join us a couple of days after we get up there for the elk hunt. So as of right now, we only have like 2, maybe 3 days for our deer tag, and then that'll close and it'll go into elk season.
Yep.
So the cool part about Idaho is I don't know if it's every tag, but if you have a unused deer tag, you can actually use that deer on a wolf. And I've never hunted a wolf before. I have no idea if I'm going to be able to take a shot or not, because I love dogs and I know it's not a dog, but it looks like a dog sometimes. So if we don't get a deer, our primary is going to be the elk. And then if we have the opportunity, we're going to take a wolf if that deer tag doesn't get filled.
Awesome.
So
Hopefully we don't shoot a bear too.
do we had I don't think it's bear season.
I
Oh, you
know.
mean like a charging bear? Yeah, where we're going, there's tons of
Yeah.
bears.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, big shout out to Sig Sauer. I got a 10 mil.
dude, have you shot it yet?
Oh yeah.
How do you like it?
I love it. It's
Nice.
smooth. Not as bad as I thought.
I'm a little bit jealous because we can't get those here in California. So I have the Glock 10 mil, and it's nice, but to me, it's not as sexy as the Sig 320 10 mil X10 or whatever it's called.
Yep, X10. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I put 550 rounds down it so far.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, how did you even find 550 rounds of 10 mil?
I bought it the day I bought the pistol.
Dude, that's all. I can't even find 10 mil out here. That's awesome.
You know, I shouldn't say that stuff because Utah's already a migration spot.
This is true. This is true. All right. So, have you ever done a extended back country hunt like this before?
No, sir. We are a drag the trailer out, hike out one day, hike back at lunch, take a nap, go back out kind of family. This
Fair
is
enough.
definitely extreme. I had to buy, so I bought a pack last year, from XL Mountain Gear,
Okay.
and that thing is awesome. I did a lot of research, listened to their podcasts, and I think that's going to be a real meat packer. I'm planning on filling it up on your hunt, so
Nice. I give you that opportunity to carry
yeah.
an elk and a deer.
Yeah. So other than that, getting a never even had a 0 degree rated bag or mat, anything like that. I've had to get all that stuff. So it's been fun. It's been
So
a lot of work, but it's been fun.
this trip has been a good excuse for you to stock up on some fresh gear.
Yeah. Yep. And a 10 mil. Yeah.
Right? Most importantly. No,
Yeah.
that's awesome. So I guess it's going to be, I don't know if I'm excited for Seth or I feel bad for him because he's done trips like this before. It's going to be your first time. It's going to be my first time doing a multiple, like, because if we're going out the 20th and come back the 5th, I mean, that's what, 15, 16 days, something like that.
Right.
And then my nephew, who's in, he's done some adventure type stuff, but he's never done like this. It's going to be his first time as well. So Seth is going to have three new people and himself. I don't know if that's a good thing for him or a bad.
Well, I have been working out like a madman. So if I have to work and pack someone else's shit, I'm ready.
Nice.
So
So
I'll do whatever I can do.
my nephew's physically fit. I'm in okay shape and I've been trying to work out, but new daughter means weird sleeping hours, means I do what I can when I can. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen, right?
Right.
But I am super, super stoked for this trip. I mean, four friends out in the Idaho Wild for 16 days. I mean, it's going to be pretty insane.
Yeah. First time hunting Idaho, first time doing this, first time spotting only. I don't have to pack a rifle. It's going to be awesome.
That's going to be so much fun. And I'm grateful to have you guys' help and support. Just, I mean, if everything goes well and we were able to harvest two animals, it's going to be a lot of work because we're going to be in that Hell's Canyon area. So never been there, but it's called Hell's Canyon for a reason. And everybody I talk to tells me it's going to be a challenge.
Good. Awesome memory.
Yeah, lots of
Awesome
memories.
memory to be.
It's going to be interesting. Have you hunted elk before?
Yeah, I got my first cow in January of last year.
Oh no shit, where at?
Just East Zion, right here in Utah,
Nice.
like an hour from my house. Yep.
Nice. So that was just a day trip or?
Yeah, so it was actually a mitigation tag. It wasn't even over, like I didn't buy one or anything. So it was January. But we knew the herd was there from just it's on private property, so we knew they were there, and we grabbed the snowmobiles, went up there, and I shot her. I think it was 150 yards. I shot it off a barbed wire fence.
Okay.
And that was the same gun the same time that I shot my first NRL Hunter match.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, 7 saw.
Nice. All right.
So,
so 150
awesome.
Yards, and you had elk in the freezer for quite a while, I would imagine.
Yeah, we ended up, so I never field dressed an elk. So we drug it out and put it on the snowmobile trailer and took it to work. And I hung it up in the back room that's not heated. And we just, after I gutted it, we hung it up in there for 3 weeks. And I took it to a butcher because it's so big. And I yielded 100 pounds of meat, which isn't as much as I could because I think I threw away all the skirt steaks. But it was like the first time I grilled the tenderloins, I got emotional because it was so much work to get that animal out of there.
Oh, yeah.
And all the steps we had to do for it. And then to put that on the table for my family, it was awesome.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's a completely different feeling where from when you go to the grocery store and you buy whatever, you know, that's prepackaged for you versus harvesting and butchering it and doing everything yourself. It's completely different.
Yeah. Open up the package. There's still a couple hairs.
Right.
And you're like, oh yeah, this thing was stinky.
Yeah, but it's fresh. It's real.
It was real. It was awesome. So I hope we can do the same thing again.
No, that's badass. It's so hopefully we get an elk and a deer, but I'm bringing my entire processing kit in the trailer up. So we're going to process the whole thing while we're up there before we head back home.
Perfect.
So bring, I'll have some knives, but if you have a favorite bone knife or whatever, bring that with you, man.
Okay. I know that Mark Bean's fixing me one up right now.
Oh, perfect.
Helping you. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, I just packed his for my hunts as well. So I always use his knives. I don't go hunting without a knife of his.
Yeah. He's going to surprise me. I kind of sent him a couple that I like the styling on, and he's going to surprise me.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to give him a call later and make sure he's getting on it.
Yep.
Awesome. So what do you expect to get out of this trip?
Oh, man, I hope I wear out a pair of boots. I hope we hike our asses off and we really explore this country. And you mentioned that you're not going to go for like the biggest bull. You're not going to pass up a nice bull if we see one. But I hope we do get into some and we just have a lot of fun. I mean, the whole experience from getting up and not dying because it's going to be so cold at night. So you're
Right.
making breakfast before light, going out. Just, I don't know, this whole thing is going to be, it's really new for me. I've never slept that cold. So.
Yeah, I could totally relate and understand that because I don't think I have either, especially not for 16 days. I've never camped for 16 days.
There's that too.
I think it's going to be interesting. I know, like, I've been watching a lot of like the Go Hunt videos and Aaron Snyder, who I know does more archery or whatever. And I've been watching like their pack out kits and so on and so forth and what they pack for hunts. And now I understand, you know, a lot of them pack like a Tylenol PM or something like that to help them sleep at night.
Yeah.
And so that might be something that I do is grab some Tylenol PM to help make sure we sleep soundly at night.
Yeah. You see that stuff like melatonin gummies and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the outdoor. Yeah.
Melatonin's good, but I always wake up kind of in a shitty mood from melatonin.
Well, you're going to wake up next to your cousin, so. Or nephew. Sorry.
Nephew.
No, so good. You probably will anyways.
This is true. It's funny. We were, this past weekend, we broke out the tent that we're going to be camping in, which I bought a new Kuyu tent. And it's a two-person tent, and we set it up just to make sure we knew how and that we had all the pieces. and, you know, whatever we needed to make sure that it was set up right. And we set it up and we're like, dude, we're not both going to fit in here. There's no way.
Oh, no.
And so we set up another tent that I have, a big Agnes tent. And it was almost the same size. And that was a two-person tent as well. And so I'm like, well, we could pack in two tents, or let's get into the tent right now and see if we can fit. So we ended up getting into the Kuyu tent, and we found out that we could fit. Both of us could fit in there, but all of our gear would have to stay outside. So I think we're going to do that route, and just as long as it's not pouring rain or anything of that nature, keep everything under the vestibules of the tent. And if not, I have a tarp to kind of wrap everything up, or we'll have to figure it out. But it could get pretty interesting with the, you know, two grown ass men, you know, in a small ass tent.
Oh, man. Hey, you'll have each other's warmth.
This is true. This is true. It'll definitely be an adventure.
Yep. Make sure you bring lots of chili.
Yeah, no thanks. We actually still have to go out and get all the different foods and all that stuff. I know you have a special diet, but what's a breakdown of what you're packing for this trip food-wise?
So I had to pre-buy all my stuff because I can't risk it. I can't eat gluten.
Okay.
I know that that's kind of looked down upon from others, but it's not my choice.
No, it is what it is.
I know. It wrecks my guts. It wrecks everyone's day because my gas is so stinky. And then, yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of peak refuels because they're really high in protein.
Yep.
And then I got some Heather's Choice. I found Heather's Choice makes a lot of gluten-free stuff, and they're higher protein too.
Okay.
And not a lot of salt. I was really conscientious of salt, but they're high in fat, which shouldn't worry about. We're going to be hiking.
Right.
But I'm trying to do around 180 grams of protein a day. I'm really going to try to pack it in. I got some meat sticks, protein bars, and it sounds like I should bring some laxatives.
Laxatives aren't bad. Are you doing anything like a water, not water supplement, but like a additive for flavor or anything like that?
I like Liquid IV a little bit.
Yeah,
but I haven't done caffeine too much. Like I'll do like 60 grams a week max.
Oh, wow.
I'm planning on bringing a little bit of caffeine because it really like affects me a lot. So if we're at that 2 p.m. slump and we got 2 miles to get back to camp and it's all uphill, I might just slam a little bit of caffeine to get us back. So I'm going to have that in my back pocket. But yeah, water, I just have the, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just have this visual in my head that we're back at camp. It's like midnight and you're running around camp because you're wired on caffeine.
Probably. Yeah, we'll see. I'll be smart about it. Yeah, water. I've got like a 3-liter little bladder and then just a bottle. So we'll see if we can find some source to get some fresh water.
Yeah, out there. I know Seth said that there's water out there. We're taking like those Sawyer water filters.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have one, I can pack an extra one for you. I have a couple of them here.
They got one, yeah.
Okay. But just to kind of give people a heads up too, we're taking my truck and trailer and all that stuff up there. So we're going to camp, you know, quite a ways away, but we'll be able to come back and forth to the trailer and whatever to resupply. So we're not carrying 16 days of water and food and all that kind of stuff on us. We might come back to the trailer to resupply every, you know, 3 or 4 days or something of that nature. But
yeah, I'll always take an extra day, no matter how many days we say we're going to stay, because if we kill on that last day, we might have to stay over again. But that's about all I'm going to plan on.
You know, that's true, but if we kill on that last day, I might get killed, because that's my 2-year anniversary.
Ooh, not that last day. I was saying, like, if we plan on going out for 3 and going back to resupply.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you definitely need to be home for that.
Yeah, November 5th, I got to be home. Otherwise, it'll be you might not see me next season.
Well, you've got a lot of matches coming. We got two in Canada this year.
Yeah, so we just released the 24 season, and we have, I think it's 24 matches.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty exciting. We got the two in your home state, and then quite a few surrounding you guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Now, I know there's quite a few people from your work that compete. Are you guys all competing again this year, or are you guys doing the team thing, individual thing? Have you guys figured any of that out yet, or is it too soon?
We haven't really talked about it since the Grand Slam, but definitely plan on seeing us there for sure.
Nice. Your dad hasn't given up yet?
No, he's all in. He loves it. It's so much fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Rylan, Andy, Wade, Brody came back. You might see a whole bunch of us. We'll see.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. How about rifle setup? Have you thought about anything there? Are you gonna keep the same setup, or are you gonna change things up for next season?
I was running an AG composite for like the first year, and I just switched to an MPA.
Okay.
And I'm as soon as I grabbed that, I just felt at home. Like,
nice.
I've been around a lot of chassis and stocks, and I just that MPA, just the normal comp chassis. I don't know what it is. It's perfect for me. So I'm gonna keep that. I'm gonna keep the 25 Creedmoor, low recoil, excellent trajectory, and that thing bucks the wind like crazy.
So, speaking of 25 Creedmoor, I was told like a week ago that it is one of the hardest calibers to find any components for right now. Go ahead.
I said, we have a surplus. When we came back from Idaho this year, I locked into 2,000 projectiles, which is my second time ordering that many. So we have a good little stockpile. And ECI 450s, you can get Alpha Brass. I think Alpha is planning on running it again in November, I think he said. I can't confirm, but the brass is easy. As long as you can get 6.5 small rifle primer, you can just neck it down. It's no different other than it says 6.5.
Right.
But you definitely want to run small rifle primer brass. That lets you get the pressure up a little bit. And I would recommend, if you're going to shoot that, like the 2850 range, kind of like maybe 2800 feet per second in that range. You can smoke them up faster than that, but I don't think it's worth it.
There's really no need to.
Yeah. So just kind of get longer brass life, longer barrel life, and stay in that 2820 probably range, 2850.
So from a manufacturer's perspective, are you making or spinning up more 25 Creed barrels, or is 6.5 still the most popular one that you guys are spinning up for NRL Hunter?
I don't get to talk to the customers when they order a whole lot, but as far as NRL Hunter specific, I don't know. I would say overall is what we're producing. We see a lot of 308 Winchester.
Really?
And I surprise people when I tell them that, but we chamber those constantly.
No shit.
Oh yeah. 308 Win, 223s, those are never going to die. I mean, we make those all the time. But the Creedmoor comes right after those for sure. We have three different chamber offerings for the Creedmoor, 6.5 Creedmoor. And yeah, we're always in 6.5s. But the 22 and 25 Creedmoor are both pretty popular as well. The 22 is probably a little bit more popular. There's actually ammo available for it. You can just buy. And I know there's 25 Creed as well, but a little bit more affordable to shoot the 22 Creed.
Okay.
But if Hornady or someone would just launch a 25 Creed, it would just take off. For sure.
That'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah. Other than that, a lot of 7 PRCs are going out.
Okay.
Still doing a lot of 300 PRCs, but the 7 definitely took over. And then, yeah, I mean, it's the basic calibers are still the top. From there, it just kind of falls apart into everything because we
Right.
do so many cartridges.
That's awesome. So what are we looking at? I know, this podcast we wanted to talk more about the hunt, but I'm just curious, because people are going to ask, we're at that time of year right now where people are building or revamping their rifles for the new season. What are we looking at lead times for a spun up barrel or a blank from you?
Blanks are a lot faster, for sure. If you have a Smith who's hungry and has an open lathe, that's going to be your best bet to get a pre-fit or just a custom build right now.
Okay.
We're still at the 12-week mark on pre-fits.
Okay.
So it's probably a little late for hunting season. I do have a few on the shelf, probably 40. But really, the fastest way to do it, if you're really in dire need, if you buy a receiver from us, we will expedite the barrel for free. We'll put the tag right in front. So
Okay.
you're like, hey, I want to build a 7 PRC. I don't have anything. If you only get the receiver from us, you're just getting a free expedite service. So we'll just put that barrel action together, get it to you. In the meantime, find yourself a chassis or a stock, get your trigger, bipod, scope, everything else. You have plenty of time. You'll have like 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Or yeah, before you'll get it from us. Unless it's carbon, might be 4 or 5 weeks.
Right.
But yeah,
Mitchin.
that's the
So,
fastest way.
in the pre-fit world, I know we're kind of jumping around a little bit, but in the pre-fit world, we just saw that a competitor just launched a pre-fit for the SICROSS. Is that something that you guys are working on, or have, I don't know if you guys do that already, or?
We do. We don't sell an extension for it. I saw the post you're talking about,
Yeah.
but you just use the one that comes with your rifle
Okay.
and you can put a new barrel on.
So I can order a cross barrel from you today and it'll be here, and depending on what I order in a few weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, whatever it is.
I mean, yeah, it'd be 12 weeks if you just got a barrel.
Oh.
I'm trying to get that down. We're kind of catching up, but yeah, we're like 10 to 14 on average, but definitely closer to like the 12 weeks.
Oh yeah. That's very cool. Very cool.
But
Okay.
we just built the first showpiece SIG Cross. It's a nickel blended carbon 22 Creedmoor. And right out of the gate, it's a factory's trigger, factory gun. I put a Vortex Diamondback Tactical on it, 4 to 16, three groups in a row, under half inch. Ding, ding, ding. With the Texas Ammunition 22 Creed with the 80 grain ELDM.
No shit.
Yep.
Is
So
that a shop gun, or did you build that for a customer?
my little sister's first gun.
Dude, you're gonna have to
Yep.
send me a picture of that.
Well, we did real like actual photography grade pictures on it, and yeah, I'll get those over.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. That's piqued my interest. Maybe I'll have to order another barrel from you here.
Yeah, that gun's really for the money. I think it's awesome. The cool thing too is if you really pull that trigger, it's a two stage. It kind of clicks at the end, and then it's like 3 ounces and it
Right.
breaks.
Right.
So it was nice shooting that gun.
No, it's I have a couple. I have a like the original cross and then the born and raised cross. So I have two different versions, just
Oh,
basically
okay.
the handguard's a little bit different. But they're both in 6.5. So I was like, well, when I shoot this barrel out, what should I just do another 6.5, or should I do something different? So now you've kind of piqued my interest on what I should get done.
Yeah, because it's so light, you don't want a big recoiling cartridge. I mean, I
No.
don't. But yeah, for the cost of what other chassis cost, you have an entire rifle.
Right. And it's, I mean, the
So.
modularity and the ergonomics and everything on that rifle, I find very comfortable for myself. I mean, I've killed many a deer with that rifles.
Yeah, awesome features for sure. And it just will fold up and go in your backpack.
Yep. It's one of the best things about it. Okay, besides the hunt that we're going on together in Idaho, do you have anything planned tag-wise this year?
I didn't draw anything. I didn't draw, and then I didn't go buy any spec tags or anything like that. So,
So you put a
but
little bit of pressure on me. I got to help fill your freezer at this hunt then, huh?
I mean, it would definitely help, but it's kind of good timing because I couldn't imagine saying, oh, I can't go because I have a deer tag.
Right.
But at the same time, I have 5 buck points. I've been trying to draw for 5 years. I haven't got a buck tag in Utah. So having this experience is really saving my year because I get to go hunting.
Absolutely, dude. Well, you're more than welcome to hunt with me anytime. Anytime we go.
Awesome. Let's do it. Maybe you should wait to invite me till after this hunt.
It's a tentative invite then.
Yeah, maybe redacted.
I might have to, but the great thing about hunting like this is, when you draw an elk tag or you go on some adventure, and you need help packing stuff out or a buddy to go along with, man. It's the great thing about building these little groups is that, not, I mean, in my experience, we always reciprocate, right? So I'm the shooter this time. Next time, Marshall's gonna, have a tag. I'll still go out to Utah or wherever his tag is and help him do whatever he needs done. And it's a great way to form stronger bonds between friendships and greater community. And all of this is because we met through NRL Hunter. So I think it's really badass we get to go on this adventure together.
Yeah, same.
So,
That's crazy.
yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm excited and I'm nervous to do the after action report a podcast with
No,
you. So,
that's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be
yeah.
perfect.
All right. Well, we're getting towards that time. Is there anything that you want to say to the listeners, or should we just leave them in suspense to see how the actual hunt goes?
Yeah, let's just do the old TV propaganda. Until next time.
Until next time. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate everything. As always, stay safe, keep shooting, and we look forward to seeing you guys at a match. Take care. Thanks,
See you
Marshall.
guys. Yeah, thank you.